Good afternoon. This is Glenn Coble. You're listening to WWGH 107.1 FM, and we're here on the air, and the name of the program is called A Progressive Life, and we have Dr. Feynman on the phone with us, I believe. Are you there, Doctor?
Yes, and I want to wish you a happy birthday tomorrow.
Well, thank you so much.
You're 55 years young, right?
Yes, and you're sending big presents like a new car.
Oh, of course.
I know.
Look out the door tomorrow morning.
I'll count on it, by the way. Yeah, when was the last time, and you're pretty close in age, when was the last time you got a present from somebody other than your wife or your children?
Well, a couple of friends have given me gifts, but that's about it.
Yeah. I have no friends, so...
Oh, come on, you have no friends?
As you can tell from listening to my show with Scott, nobody likes me.
Oh, I like you, and I like the fact you're a principal.
Well, thank you. Aren't you kind? Did you hear the business about our Vax-a-Million that was on? You know, I don't know if you listen while you're...
At Ohio giving scholarships.
Yeah.
Yes.
And giving people money.
Yes.
What do you think of that idea? Now, Scott thinks it's hokey and kind of poo-poos it. And I keep telling him, well, let's wait the 5 weeks and see if it actually increases the number of people that get shots, because that's what it's intended to do.
Yeah, well, I think it's a good motivation. I don't see a big problem. I think government wastes a lot more money on unimportant things other than education or the lottery. So yeah. I think it's a good thing, and I think Governor DeWine has done an excellent job, even though I was listening the last 15 minutes. His ratings may not be that high to many people, but it doesn't mean that people know what they're doing, because honestly, there's a lot of stupid, moronic people out there, I'm sorry to say.
You've sealed his loss.
People don't know what's good for them. That's the point. You know, they really don't, because I think his whole approach on the COVID-19 is exceptional compared to our Florida governor, who's been a disaster.
Well, that's... Your governor is... I used a bad word on the air today about Cruz, Senator Cruz.
Oh, well, he's the most obscene of the obscene of the obscene. Even DeSantis and everybody else you can think of is not as bad as Cruz. Cruz is the most monstrous excuse for a human being I've ever known.
Well, I referred to him as a portion of one's lower body.
And, starting with the fourth letter of the alphabet?
No, in the back. And I referred to him that way, and Scott had to bleep it for me, so you can no longer hear it on the air.
That's so funny.
And it was one of those things, I was so shocked that it came out of my mouth, I couldn't talk for a minute.
Well, he doesn't think twice, Ted Cruz, of what he says.
Okay.
Neither does Rand Paul going after Richard Marx, the singer.
Yeah.
Rand Paul, actually, I think there's two people who I would put on the Titanic if I could.
What did he say about Marx? I love Marx. What did he say about him?
Well, Richard Marx has been making fun of Rand Paul about him on the issue of the COVID-19, because he's constantly Rand Paul challenging Dr. Fauci. Yeah. And so he talked about, which wasn't really right that he should have done it, that if he ever meets the neighbor of Rand Paul who put him in the hospital, he would give him, I forgot what he said, he would give him something. And so and then suddenly a package of powder arrived at Rand Paul's house, and apparently nothing important, but he accused Richard Marx of being involved in it.
Oh, my. Well.
But actually, Richard Marx has a mouth. He should probably shut more, because I think he's making more enemies by getting involved in things he doesn't need to get involved in.
Yeah.
As an entertainer, you know?
Yeah. Oh, well.
But I think Rand Paul and Ted Cruz are the two worst people. Of all the people that are bad, I think, in Congress, they're the two worst.
Well, at least it wasn't Karl Marx that sent him the powder.
Well, maybe they'll say it was.
Yeah,
or they'll say the former Venezuelan dictator who died in 2017.
Yes.
They've been doing that lately, too, claiming that he was involved in all this stuff in 2020. Isn't that insane? And they think people are that stupid? Well, some people are, but...
Well, aren't you referring to Congresswoman Green?
Yes.
Line?
Oh, my God. Yeah, actually, maybe she's worse than that. If I made a list, and I did make a list of senators this week on the Progressive Professor, Republican senators, 15 of them, who I said are the worst of the worst of the worst, have the reputation of being in an alternative universe. Tommy Tuberville of Alabama.
Uh-huh.
Tom Cotton of Arkansas.
Okay.
Rick Scott of Florida. I didn't put Rubio in, interestingly.
Yeah,
I
left my first three right off
some of these. But Rick Scott of Florida, Chuck Grassley of Iowa, Rand Paul of Kentucky, Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, John Kennedy of Louisiana, Josh Hawley of Missouri, Jim Inhofe of Oklahoma, Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee, Ted Cruz of Texas, John Cornyn of Texas, Mike Lee of Utah, and Ron Johnson of Wisconsin. They're just an unbelievable group. They really are.
Are they in descending order, or did you just throw them into a hat?
They're in alphabetical order by state.
Oh, okay. I got you.
From Alabama to Wisconsin.
Well, the first three that you mentioned would have been my top three anyway, so it worked out fine.
Yes. So, I mean, it's just unbelievable, these people. But I'm still hopeful that history will be overcome and that the Democrats will not lose seats or control in the midterm after winning the White House. But history's against them. That's the problem.
Scott brought up an interesting point. We had a terrific show today. Scott was really good. He was really on. And he had a gentleman on. Now I can't think of his name. He was... Why am I doing
a well-known this? Person or just a caller?
No. And he was a well-known person. Patch. He's a comedian. Well, Patch. Remember the movie that was Patch Adams, the movie?
No.
Okay.
I'm not aware of that.
Okay.
I'm not a movie expert. If this was a movie show, I wouldn't be on it.
Okay, well, Patch was... It was terrific to listen to.
He's a comedian, yeah.
Well, and he wasn't being funny. He was talking about how people should love each other, people should find ways to be happy, people should find ways to make other people happy, and I just totally enjoyed it.
Absolutely. It would be ideal, but it's not reality, unfortunately.
Well, he thought it could be, and I was thinking the whole time, can this be a reality? Why are human beings, and all of us, it seems like the majority of us want to fight before we love. Why is that?
Well, I think a lot of it is Donald Trump. I really think it is.
Well, I mean, leave Donald Trump out of it. For eons, we have wanted to fight. The caveman beat the crap out of the other caveman.
Yeah, but I remember in the 60s and 70s and 80s, there was a lot more camaraderie crossing the aisle.
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't really exist anymore. So I think it's worse in the last 20 years, particularly since Trump.
What?
And I guess when Obama came in, it stood up the racial feelings of many people who couldn't accept him, the idea that a mixed-race person was president. And they're having the same trouble now with Kamala Harris. She gets more death threats than Joe Biden, I've read.
That's just nuts.
Of course, they both get it, but Obama had the most death threats since Lincoln.
Do people not realize that we're all the same? You scratch us and we all bleed.
Well, we know that, but they refuse to accept that. They, like, religion, ethnicity, and gender also get in the way. You know, it's obscene. It really is.
Well,
it's very hard to be positive about the future.
Yes, it is. But I'm going to be. And that's one of the things that Patch was talking about, is being positive for the future. And he said, you just have to. That's just the way you have to be. You have to think positively. And I agree with him. We all need to think positively.
Think positively, but you still have to defend yourself against people that don't necessarily want to be positive.
Now,
and it's just help you walk over, is what I'm saying.
My mother would have told me you don't have to defend yourself for the people that will walk over you. Why do you want to defend somebody that wants to walk over you? Just ignore them. Let them alone. Let them rot in their little corner by themselves.
Well, as long as it's just, in general society, but if it involves nations and wars, you can't ignore when somebody's attacking you, is what I'm saying.
So John Lennon had it right when in the song Imagine.
Yeah.
Imagine that there are no countries and no wars, nothing to die for.
Yes, and it would be nice if everybody, in ideal terms, was one race and religion. Wouldn't that be great?
Oh, I would love that. Being agnostic or atheistic, whichever I am, I have virtually not a religion, but my religion is to treat other people kindly.
Well, that's with me. I'm Jewish, but I don't go to synagogue. Yeah. I'm not religious in that sense, but I treat people with dignity and respect, and I am nice to people, including so-called the little people, that people, you know, wealthy people, so-called the little people, meaning, you know, meaning cashiers and, people in restaurants and in the supermarkets. Why not treat them with dignity and respect?
Well, oh, by the way, I'm supposed to make sure that you don't use the term disgusting. Everything's disgusting.
I think that's, that?
This is Scott. Scott said, we always say things are disgusting.
Okay, so how about come up with another word?
Trumpian. That's good.
He's joking, isn't he?
He just pointed
out that's a lot of words, yeah.
It really is kind of hyperbolic. It's
a lot of words are hyperbolic. I don't think that's the worst word.
No, but it's way bigger than, you know, not everything is disgusting.
How about despicable?
Yeah, well, let's bounce it. Let's see what he says. I'll ask him next in the show.
Okay. Funny.
Well, let me, he wasn't being critical. He was just, he said,
I'm joking also.
How often we use that term.
You have to laugh at me. That's one thing I know very definitely.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the things that Patch said. I try to have people laugh at me. That's good when they're laughing at me.
Yes.
And, you know, that's kind of my mother's philosophy. She thought that it's better to have people laugh at you than to have people not
be angry, of course.
Be angry, yeah. All right.
Yeah, I want to ask you, by the way, before we go on. You're going to be 75 tomorrow. I'm just curious, any time just, you know, when you wake up or just when you have nothing special to do, to reflect and think back to the past and about things that happened in your life?
Oh, my.
I find that's happening a lot lately. I'm not planning it, but I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm thinking, or do at times when I'm not involved with something, and I wonder if that's a, quote, normal, quote, thing to do in your 70s.
I think it's the bane of getting older. I'm not frightened of dying. I don't want it to happen, but I know it's going to. And in my mind, when I die, I will go back to the stars, which from whence I came. But
yes.
I think about it all the time. But you know, I was thinking about it this morning. I was having a great morning. I had been depressed all weekend. My wife had told me that I was being hysterical at one point, which I was not. I swear I was not. And she told me later that she was wrong. But I was very depressed on the weekend. And this morning I woke up with at least a smile on my face. I have found myself waking up more depressed because I'm thinking about all the great things that went on when I was a young person.
Yeah.
But then I stop and think, you know, there are a lot of great things that could happen to me right now. When I ran for office, that was a great thing. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, of course.
I probably should have tried again, but I've decided not to. And I'm going to try to convince my wife to let me buy a motorhome, and we're going to go traveling, but I don't know if that's going to make it or not. But I do think more about being when I was younger.
Yeah, I also spend time thinking about people I knew who have passed away.
Yes.
Because, well, when I knew them, I was thinking, why am I still here and they're not?
Well,
that thought has crossed my mind, you know?
The thought that passes my mind is, thank God I'm still alive and they're not.
Of course, but wondering, why do some people die young or younger? You know, there's no answer, of course.
Well, and I had a friend that lived in the house right behind me when I lived in Valparaiso, Indiana, who shot himself. And he was 15, and that was hard to take.
How old were you at the time?
16. I was just...
Oh, so it was like a friend of yours,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, yeah.
And no warning, no hints of it, huh?
Yeah, he was always a depressed kid, and I felt bad for him.
But he had a gun, obviously,
yeah,
right?
He had a gun, or was able to get a hold of one.
And now I see, as I was out of the house, come in. The big story on the news is a San Jose shooting, San Jose, California, a shooting. I don't know the details yet. And I'm thinking, and nobody's willing to do anything. And a place like Texas is now making it even easier for people to, you know, to have guns without registration or anything. It's just insane.
Yeah, you're not a real man unless you have a six-shooter strapped to your leg like they did back in the 1800s.
Between that and their abortion law they passed, and also their law that says you can't teach about the history of African Americans or Native Americans or the negative things about American history, how is a social studies teacher or a history teacher, college, well, I guess college is separate, but to me, how can I do my job? You can't lie. You can't just tell, fake truth or fake stories. It drives me crazy.
Now that's
people are against people knowing the truth.
That's number three on my list of things to ask you about. What do you do if you're not allowed to say what the facts are?
Yeah, now, this was years ago when I was young. Although I was in college, so maybe it would be different, but if I was in the public schools, which originally I was going to be a high school teacher, I wouldn't be able to keep my job. It'd be a lifetime thing. I'd suddenly have to leave it's just ridiculous to interfere with people. It's censorship, really. It drives me crazy, and it's got to be stopped. And it'll go to universities. Already there are these right wings that want to keep records on people who speak liberal thoughts, as they call it, and report them and make it a public thing. And
please report me.
I'm just saying, if I was younger and I had to count on making a living, which I don't have to now, it'd be a real quandary what to do.
Well, what would tenure have to do with any of this? Could you fall back? Is that thrown out
the window? I guess at the university, nothing. But in high school, there is no real tenure.
Oh, there isn't? Okay.
No, I think it used to be that if you had kept a job a few years, you were pretty sure. But I think that was long gone because unions are weak. And I don't think you can keep a teacher on just because of years. But, I mean, school boards can do whatever they want. They're their own governments, don't forget. They're abusive a lot of the time.
Yeah.
If you look at the history of school boards, like in Florida and elsewhere, the way they do things, you can't believe it. And I'm sure that's true in Ohio, too.
I once ran for a position for athletic director at a high school, which I'm not going to talk about name.
Yeah.
I lost. I came in second.
Oh, wow.
To a young man who was probably 20 years my junior.
Ooh.
And just out of, he had just been in college.
Maybe it was cheaper to hire him, huh?
I wasn't asking for hardly anything.
Yeah.
He was let go 6 or 8 months later because of improper relationships with a student.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I applied again, and they hired another fairly young man who was also let go for similar reasons.
Oh, my gosh.
I never got the job, by the way.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
And that's another thing that Scott and I talked about today is younger people and do you get smarter as you get older? And I think we do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I want to mention you ended up second. I had a job that I would have wanted at the time. I was second. Tulane University in New Orleans.
I was, love it. Love that school.
Yeah, I was one of two finalists. I didn't know it at the time, but I was one of two finalists in 1980, long ago, and I did not get it. And, I got over it, I went on with my life and all that, but I found out they even told me the faculty voted. Apparently they decided. And you talk about Al Gore having a close race and what happened to him in 2000.
Yeah.
Found out the vote was 13 for the other person, 12 for me. Can you believe that?
Oh, my. Yikes.
13 to 12, and that was the time when I went down there. I was actually sick. I had a hoarse voice. I just happened to be having a cold. I don't know if that's why it happened, but I was saying, oh, my God, 13 to 12. So I could appreciate what Al Gore went through, who lost, 271 to 266,
yeah.
But actually, in his case, won the popular vote. It's a terrible thing. But actually, 25 years later, when Hurricane Katrina occurred and did the damage to New Orleans, I thought to myself, maybe there's a reason I didn't get that. I would have probably had my home destroyed.
There you go. Oh, yeah. And that's one of the things my mother used to always tell me. If bad things happen, she'd always say, after the fact, she'd wait until something good happened because I didn't get the job, and she'd bring that up.
Yeah, because I think I would have lost my home.
There
I would have lived
go.
In Metairie right in the suburbs of New Orleans,
yeah.
And it was horrible damage. So then I thought, well, maybe there's a reason. After 25 years, I thought, maybe there is a reason.
Well, when I was I was in my 50s, I lost my last job right at 50. And in intercollegiate athletics, when you lose your job at 50, you're in trouble because they don't really like to hire older people. They like young people to run all that stuff. But and I was very good, I thought. So I applied for a position, an administrative position at a smaller college in the area. I was called in for an interview, and not by the person that was going to make the decision, but a person above that person.
Oh.
And that person called me into his office. He was a vice president for the university. The very first thing he said is, "Don't you think you're a little old for this job?"
Oh, my God. How old is he?
Well, he was well older than I was, but if I had had that on tape, I would have owned that school. But
what an arrogant SOB, I'm sorry to say, especially when he himself is older.
By the way, I didn't get the job, but it's no big thing.
Yeah. But you said that was your last administrative or athletic job?
I'm sorry?
That's your last athletic or administrative job at age 50?
It was my last athletic administrative job, yes. I've been in... You know, I was in administration and finance after that. So.
Oh, okay. So, because it seems to imply you weren't working after 50.
No. I worked until 3-4 years ago, I guess it was. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
I teach part time, but I am retired 10 years. Yeah.
One of the problems I'm having with getting older, when I first retired 3 or 4 years ago, four or five years ago, I was struggled because I didn't know what I was going to do. So I actually went and talked to a psychiatrist, and she told me, you need to get out of your house and go around at least once a week and see all these old people that you always used to go see. Because one of my life jobs, all of my life jobs have been public you know, I was out in the public, and I drove around a lot. I did a lot of traveling. I did a lot of talking. I really enjoyed that. And so I did that. I started doing it, and I'll be darned if my life didn't turn around and I went, hey, I really like this. Well, COVID hit.
Yes.
I haven't been able to go out and about very much. And I'm getting, like I told my wife this weekend, I am just terribly depressed. I'm sure the reason why I'm depressed, first of all, my doctor gave me a medicine that depresses me, so I threw that out the window. And also, I'm getting depressed because I just can't get out and be with people. And that, I don't know, it's something I got to do. And you're lucky. You get to talk with young people all the time.
Well, actually, the last year has been online, but in the fall, I'll be going back to teaching. And I also do lectures for senior citizens. Yeah. And after a period of not having it, now I'm having it again, yes.
I bet does that make you feel a little bit more fulfilled?
Oh, absolutely, you know, and because I like to speak, I like to talk, I like to lecture, and I like to be around people, you know, so, yeah, but it's only part-time, but many days I'm in the house not doing much of anything other than writing and things like that, being on your show, and on another show, too, but I do like the fact that I did not 100% give up academia. I still have it.
Hey, give us, since you mentioned it, tell us the name of the show, the blogs that you're involved with.
Okay, well, your show and the Sunday show on Blog Talk Radio, here be monsters, and that's Sunday 6 to 7. Not every week, though. She doesn't have it every week, Gwen Holds and Barry, but it happens pretty often, just not regularly like yours. So, we had a couple of weeks where we didn't, but then we did have it. But the Sunday show on Blog Talk Radio, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday.
What's the name of that again? I missed it.
The Sunday Show on Blog Talk Radio, Here Be Monsters,
Here Be Monsters.
Here
I
Be
love
Monsters.
That name. Wow.
Yeah, it's an unusual name.
That's cool.
Here it is. And that's definitely a left-wing talkative
you're
show.
One of those libs, huh?
And Wayne Johnson's on it as well, as you know.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, he's really a great guy, yeah.
Now, I got a call. We got a call today on our show on the air, and this person that called in was a pastor that has a show on our station. As a matter of fact, I engineer it the first Sunday of every month, and we had a discussion, and you know, he was saying, we were talking about the Jewish and Israeli, the Israeli and the the Gaza,
Palestinian, yeah.
Yeah, the Palestinian problem. And he was saying, well, God did this, and that's why. And I said, well, what if I don't believe in your God?
What kind of a minister, what religion is he?
I would call it free-for-all. I'm not sure. I would say, I don't know.
Good ask, yeah.
It's not Baptist.
Lutheran?
No, it's really not a mainstream religion. He's a good minister, and I appreciate where he comes from. I doubt that he appreciates where I come from. But being a minister's kid, I know that he and people like him, my father was a minister, I know they sincerely believe what they're saying. I just don't. That's all. It doesn't mean that they're a bad person. It probably means that I'm stupid. But
so at least they're mainstream ministers, not like these evangelical extremists who get rich and have mansions,
right,
and
yeah,
fancy cars and are just in it as, you know, because they're crooked and corrupt. They're very different.
I'm guessing that the pastor would call himself evangelical, but that, you know, they're
all evangelical liberals, but not as much as the evangelical right wingers. You know?
Yeah, the far right, the Nazi right religion, it bothers me. Yes. Okay, I gotta get back. I got two more things I gotta ask you about. Okay.
Sure.
Why are the Republicans digging in against the January 6th commission bill? Oh, there's nothing.
Well, the thing is, it's going to be a commission anyway. It'll just be a Democratic alone controlled commission.
But everybody will say that's all partisan, and that's just so stupid.
But it's not going to all be partisan, because there'll be Republicans who will give testimony that have said they will, you know.
Okay.
So, not necessarily the ones that are in office. But to me, it's crazy, because they're trying to deny what happened. And like that Andrew Clyde, that congressman from Georgia, should be run out of town when he says it was just a tourist event. And yet there's a video of him cowering in fear as somebody, a police officer in the House chamber, is protecting him as they're trying to break into the House chamber.
Yeah.
I mean, how can this man even look anybody in the eye after making a statement like that?
Well, that's one of the things I don't understand. How can, and I'd like to ask my Republican friends, believe me, I do have a lot of Republican friends, especially living in District 4 of Ohio. How can they... They certainly must know that there are a lot of lies that they're going along with. Do they not?
Yeah, and look, they say like 2/3 of Republicans in polls say they don't think Joe Biden is the legitimate president. Can you believe this?
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. Why would they think that? I mean, I don't understand how you can possibly think that. I didn't go around saying that Trump wasn't president because he was, what, 3 million votes less than Hillary.
But the thing is, these same people who think that Trump won this time think that there was no shenanigans with the Russians in 2016, when there's more and more evidence that there was, and that it was hidden by Barr, the Attorney General. Now it's going to come out. So believe me, he got in because of Russian collusion, but nobody wants to contest that on their side. But God forbid somebody who's won by 7 million votes and has the same electoral vote as Trump had. No, they're not willing to accept it. It's outrageous, and it's stupidity.
Well, it's all along this line. What the heck is going on with Georgia? It's claiming that they're going to do an Arizona-type recount.
Now, Georgia's gone really off the wall. They have a few congresswomen, congressmen, and, of course, Marjorie Green, that are so extreme. It's just beyond belief, but it's not going to change the result. So they're just wasting taxpayer money and promoting the big lie, and it's got to stop, but it's not stopping.
Yeah, but they're not changing. They're not bringing forth honesty and honest debate. One of the things that Scott and I always enjoy, and now he may absolutely think I'm an idiot at times, and I think he's an idiot at times. Scott, if you're listening, I'm sorry. But I know you think I'm an idiot occasionally. But when we're done with our show, we both, you know, pat each other in the back and say, what a great show that was, because we were able to talk about things civilly, even though we disagree. And I don't understand why my Republican friends can't find the courage to talk honestly and agree or disagree with me. I don't know.
Because they have no substance. They just want what they want, and they think the world revolves around them.
I hate thinking, you're talking about the politicians. I'm talking about my friends here in Marion who are good-thinking Republican people, and there are a lot of them. There are far more than we give them those of us libs give them credit for.
Well, maybe it's because the polls are exaggerations. I don't know. But to me, there should be no debate anymore about the election. Let's move on and let's make the country better.
And I don't even think we have to move on. I think this is the fact. So it's not moving on. That makes it sound like we're, we'll go ahead and move on. No, it's a fact. Okay. Now, so you have not heard that Georgia is thinking about doing a...
I have heard it. Wisconsin might do that too, and Michigan.
What
talking
in
about
the
all those,
world?
Yeah, but I don't know how serious it is, but it's just a joke. And meanwhile, Donald Trump is coming closer to a likely indictment.
Let's see. There are two states and federal. There are federal...
Yep. Charles. New York's the most advanced.
Yeah. All right, let me get to my last question. I think this is my last question that I wrote down while I was not sleeping last night. I miss my little puppy dog because I could talk to
him. You didn't get another dog yet, did you?
No, I didn't. I'm not sure my wife wants to. I'm turning 75 tomorrow. If my next dog lives as long as this dog lived, I will be, 92.
17 years, huh?
Yeah, she lives.
Well, so why not? They'll keep you going.
I think so. I agree with you. And I also already talked to my son who lives 35 miles from here, and he said, if you croak, I'll take care of him. Now, my son talks about me like that, by the way.
He laughs, though.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe you have to stop to think. Maybe tomorrow morning you'll wake up and discover there's a puppy dog at the door for you.
Are you sending me a birthday present?
Maybe your son is.
Well, it might happen. I don't know.
Well, maybe your wife is and is keeping mom about it.
Mom, if you're listening, take Dr. Feynman to heart.
They know it. I would think it'd be a perfect gift.
I want a little fluffy one, a little female fluffy one, less than 15, 20 pounds.
And what's your son's name, by the way?
Christopher, my eldest son is
Christopher. Okay, Christopher, are you listening?
Do you hear me? Yeah, it's an easy drive up here.
Does he listen?
Occasionally.
Does he listen live or after?
No, he listens live, yeah.
Maybe he's laughing right now.
And he would be, believe me.
Be nice to your dad for his 75th birthday. It's more important than any other day, any other year, because it's, I consider like a round number, like 50, 75. Zeros and fives matter, especially 50 and 75.
So. Right, three quarters of a century is a long time.
I can't believe that.
That's hard to believe. All right. Tell me what you think about this. I was listening to talk radio yesterday, and they were telling me that of all of the lawmakers in Washington, D.C., all the legislators, 100% of the Democratic lawmakers have been vaccinated.
Yes.
Less than 50% of the Republicans have, in the mid-40s.
Yeah, apparently most Republican senators, not all, but most have been, but not many Republican House members.
What is wrong with those people?
I hate to say it. Not saying the Republican senators are good. I just went through a list of 15 people that are outrageous. But I think overall, the quality of Republican senators, as far as their intelligence, even if I don't agree, is higher, I think. I hate to say this, than many House members. I mean, we have people who really have no education, no background. We have this Madison Cawthorn, that 25-year-old wise guy, took off time to get married when he could have married any time, and he said he had to do his husband's duties. I don't know what he means by that. Knowing him, since he's been accused of having affairs, maybe you can figure out what he means. But I mean, he's not very bright, and neither is Marjorie Taylor Greene or Lauren Boebert, and neither is Andrew Clyde, and neither are a number of others. And I think, and then there's just those who think that God's going to save them. They don't have to do anything with science. They don't believe in science, and they don't believe in history either. It's such ignorance. I think the quality of the House members of Republicans is even worse than the Senate Republicans.
Now, You said he was not doing his husband duties.
Yeah.
His
husband. And I'm trying to figure out what he meant by that.
Well, and you made it sound like it was plural possessive, like he had more than one husband, and they were all men.
Well, it's just that he's been accused of, you know, before he got married, but he claims this is the love of his life, and it sounds like so many people like Donald Trump who have loves of their life, and then they cheat on them. I don't think this guy's going to be married very... I mean, I don't know, but he really is a piece of work. He's the youngest House member in 200 years.
Wow.
That's amazing. But he doesn't belong there. He really doesn't. But the district elected him.
Yeah, yeah. Have you read the book yet, On Tyranny by Timothy Snyder?
No, but I've read a lot about it. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
we are in trouble. Authoritarianism is spreading like wildfire, like
right.
It did in the 1930s. You know,
yeah.
Thing. And we have, of course, what happened in Belarusia. You know, Belarusia, and with you know arresting that person on a flight.
Yeah.
That 26-year-old activist.
Yep. Scott and I talked about that this morning, and that's where we're going if we allow this to continue.
Well, there are people in this country who want Trump to come back and be a dictator for the rest of his life and then have his sons take over or his daughter. I'm sure of it. We are really in trouble because authoritarianism is spreading and people don't seem to care. A lot of people. I'm not saying all people. But
you may get a lot more fodder for your assassination books.
Oh, God. God forbid. I don't want to have that. But
yeah.
Certainly we don't know all the death threats that come against top people.
Right.
And I see people attacking Pelosi. You can attack Pelosi on what she says, but somebody, of course, there's all kinds of people on Facebook, made a comment about, oh, it's better she continues to wear the mask. Why? Look at her face. What's so terrible about her face?
She has a pretty face.
And even if her face wasn't so good, what kind of obscene things people say, you know?
Yeah, she's 84.
No, she's 80.
80? Okay.
She'll be 81, yeah.
She's a beautiful woman.
No, she did have plastic surgery. We know that. So what? A lot of people do. But she looks good. And she's slim, too.
Yeah. And
to me, that's not a way to attack someone on their looks anyway. Because we have intelligent people who may not be great looking. Then we have stupid people who are very attractive, like a Dan Quayle or a Sarah Palin. But they're not worth anything.
Yeah.
So who cares about their looks?
Well, yeah, and looks, you know, I 20 years ago, I would absolutely disagree with you. As a matter of fact, I think I've had this argument with Scott more times than not. Being good looking is a definite benefit.
Yes.
I don't care who you think you are. If you're good looking, it's going to help. But if you're good looking, well, what's the congresswoman's name from Porter? From California.
Yes, Katie Porter, brilliant lady.
Not a handsome woman.
No, but she's brilliant.
But she's so brilliant. When she opens her mouth, I'm aghast.
Yes.
Yeah. And
you discover a lot of good-looking people are brainless.
Yes.
And even when people date people like that, they discover that they have no depth, no character. They live only on their looks. And
yeah.
It doesn't last long. Because looks go when you get older. Nobody's ever going to be as beautiful when they're older as when they're younger.
Right. When I was young, I was I was fairly handsome.
Yes, you were.
And,
you still are.
Well, you're very kind. But I used to live off of that. And and the more I thought about it, the more I thought, how unjust is that? That people would like me because maybe I'm decent looking. And I started losing my hair, and then I realized, holy mackerel, I better do something other than be good looking.
Well, I've never lost my hair. That's one thing I can brag about.
In place of hair, I got fat.
Stop picking on yourself.
Well, it's more fun.
I thought it was you doing, but you wouldn't like if somebody else did it.
Oh, I don't care. I really don't. And that's another thing that my mother taught me. Don't worry about what other people say about
you. Which is true. Yeah. You can't worry about that. You're right.
And Patch this morning, the clown that I was talking about, he said that he was one of those people that could get in with the in crowd or the not so in crowd because he didn't care whether they were in or not. And you treat everybody like good people, and that's
which is the way people should treat others.
That's kind of what my mother told me. And if they treat you badly, just move on.
That's right. She was a wise woman.
She was a wise woman. I miss her a lot. But being an atheist, I know that she is Stardust, and she's floating around there somewhere. She's really not floating, because I know where she's buried. She's buried about 100 feet from John Dillinger.
So, what? Are you serious?
Oh, I'm very serious. In Crown Hill Cemetery in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Oh, my God.
You go to my mother's and my father's burial ground, which is, you know, very small because they're in a jar, and you can walk less than 20 steps from where they are is where John Dillinger is buried.
Well, how did that happen?
Well, he was there before they were.
No, I know, but how did it happen that they got a spot that close?
The family always had a, we have a family spot.
Just by coincidence near that, yeah.
Yeah, it was a total chance.
Wow.
And there are no more spots, so I'm not going to be there. And I found out that I'm not allowed to be buried in Arlington Cemetery, even though I'm a veteran. And so.
Why not?
You have to serve in a, I think you have to serve in a area where there's a hot war.
Oh,
like that.
I see.
And my hot war was in Washington, D.C.
So, it's still a hot war. It's getting more dangerous, though, now. More chance of more domestic terrorism.
It is dangerous there anymore.
And Trump doesn't care.
Nice.
He revels in it.
Yeah, I think you're right. All right, well, we're down to our final 2 minutes and 15 seconds. What do you need to tell my listeners before we say goodbye?
Well, I did write, actually just yesterday, about how foreign policy is rearing its ugly head after 4 months of the Joe Biden presidency. We have China claiming exclusive rights to much of the South China Sea and creating naval issues with the U.S. and other nations that have territories in the Pacific. We have Russia under Putin being belligerent in many ways, including claiming sole rights to much of the Arctic as climate change leads to melting of much of the ice in that region. We have North Korea still engaged in nuclear testing, Iran remaining a threat in the Middle East, the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, which had an 11-day war, and now has, of course, led to anti-Semitism in the United States, which is horrendous. And overall, the threat of authoritarianism spreading around the world in so many nations and regions. But and, of course, climate change and terrorism generally. So he's got a full plate in foreign policy, let alone all the things he's trying to accomplish in domestic policy.
Well, the ceasefire is still holding, isn't it, in Israel?
It seems to be, but I wouldn't count on it for long, honestly.
Yeah.
The area's a tinderbox.
We've seen this before, haven't we?
Yes, but Joe Biden does come into the White House with the most foreign policy background and expertise since H.W. Bush and Nixon. So the nation's in good hands, I think, because all the other presidents had no background really at all in foreign policy. They were governors. They were, you know, like Carter and Clinton and Bush too, and Reagan. They were all governors. They were not foreign policy people in the Senate. So he, I think, is the most background since H.W. Bush and Richard Nixon.
Do you think it was a good thing for him to have the George Floyd family into the White House?
Yes.
Yeah, I did
too.
I
do think so.
Yeah,
I guess
people,
if people would say, no, you're showing favoritism.
Yeah.
So, this is an issue. We have to deal with the racial problems in this country, and we need to have a law passed to make police more accountable. I just feel that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're down to our final 15 seconds. I hope you have a great weekend, and I know
happy
I'm
happy birthday
try.
Again.
Well, thank you, sir. And we'll talk to you next week.
Next week, absolutely.
Time. All right. Bye-bye, Dr. Feynman.
Bye-bye.
All right. Dr. Feynman, on the air, and we're going to get out of here. Have a great day.
You're listening to WWGH Radio, LPFM, Marion, Ohio, 107.1.